Amen, amen. Good songs. Alrighty, today is May 17th, 2014. 2015, did you catch that?
I did.
Our message today is about change. As difficult as it may be, one thing that we can always count on in our lives is change. I've been told many times, it's not the change that we don't like, it's the resistance to the change. Which actually, when you stop to think about it, may make you scratch your head a little bit. Excuse me. What is it exactly that causes us to dislike change? To resist something means to strive against, or the act of striving against something would mean the act of striving against something is resistance. So is it our desire to go against the change, to not accept that change that we don't like? Sounds to me that would mean that we just don't like change, period. My resistance to the change would not play a part in that in any way, or would it? Could it be that I'm just kicking against the pricks and being too stubborn for my own good? If you're not familiar with the pricks or kicking against the pricks, and I meant to look this up, and I apologize that I didn't get a chance to, but there was a message that we had. You can find it within our services about kicking against the pricks. So maybe I'm just being too stubborn. Too stubborn for my own good. I guess we could say that it's not the change that we don't like. It's more about our desire to not accept the change and implement it into our own lives. Or that we choose to try to keep it from happening. If we know that change is inevitable and it's going to happen whether we like it or not, then why do we have such a difficult time accepting and adhering to it? Could it be because we are not in control of that change and therefore we find it hard to adjust? Could it be because of our own fears that keep us from being accepting and receptive to the way the Lord wants to lead and guide? Maybe it might help for us to keep the acronym for change in mind. That acronym would be change, C-H-A-N-G-E. Choosing honesty allows new growth every day. Now let's face it, honesty keeps us honest. Being honest is being truthful and upright, sincere, genuine, credible, and respectable. So when we choose to remain truthful and sincere, we allow ourselves to grow every day. When we choose to remain truthful and sincere, we allow ourselves to grow every day. Maybe we also need to understand the definition of change, which is to make the form, nature, content, future course, etc. of something different from what it is or what it would be if left alone. So change is to make the form of something different from what it is or from what it would be if left alone. By choosing to remain truthful and sincere, we allow ourselves to grow every day. After all, isn't that what it's about? To become a better person than we once were. For our form or our content, our nature to be, to take on the form of something different than what it is currently. Being changed to become a better person than we once were. Progress, not perfection, correct? Continual progress. Ever striving to reach that goal of perfection. When we choose to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, did we not do so in hopes that he would take care of us? That he would strengthen and renew us? Did we not make that decision so that we would be able to live eternally? The only way that can happen is for us to be changed. For us to take on a new form, a new nature. To cast aside the sins of this world, those things that once controlled us, that once led and guided us. And to make those things no longer desirable in our lives. But to give us a different perspective and a different goal and with a different destination in mind. During our prayer requests and praise reports, which were televised but are not recorded in case you're not listening to this message from the beginning, I made mention that people get upset with God when he allows things to happen in their lives. Well, those of us that have a relationship with our Lord know that that is how God changes us. He brings calamity and trials and tribulations. I'm sorry. He allows those things to come into our lives so that we may be changed, so that we may turn to him and seek a different perspective on things. Put a different spin on things. No longer is it myself that is so important, but more the priorities of God that I seek in my life. If I have any intention of returning home to the Father and spending a life in eternity, those changes must take place. Those changes must be allowed to take place within me. Without them, I would remain the same sinful person that I once was. So in studying for this message, the one thing that kept coming up when I studied change was repentance and repenting. So with that in mind, it also needs to be said, or it is also important for us to understand what biblical repentance is. And biblical repentance, or even just repentance, is changing your mind about Jesus Christ and turning to God in faith for salvation. That's what repentance is all about. It's not only asking for forgiveness and turning away from those things that we once did, but it's allowing our minds to be changed about Christ. It's allowing us to have that desire to know him as he knows us, to not just know of him, but to actually have a relationship with him. You know, I kind of get a little irritated when people say that Christianity is a religion, or being Catholic is having a relationship with Christ is a religion. You're a religious person. I don't consider myself a religious person. I consider myself to be a person today that has a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a relationship. It's not a religion. And I'm sure you have all heard that. The word tells us in Acts 3:19, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. So turning from sin is not the definition of repentance, but it is one of the results of genuine faith-based repentance towards the Lord Jesus Christ. So then Acts 3:19 could read, change your mind and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. Change your mind and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. There again is the word change. So is repentance necessary for a person to be changed? Most definitely. It's actually part of the definition. Changing your mind. Change once again. There is only one way that that can happen. And it's done by the renewing of our minds. Through the change that the Lord brings about in us once we make that decision. Through the change that the Lord brings about in us once we make that decision to have a deeper relationship with Him. The word tells us in Romans 12:2, our key scripture for today, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How could a person be transformed if it weren't for change? Actually, the word transform is defined as to change in form, condition, and or into another substance. So as with most things, change must begin in our mind. Oddly enough, that's also where our resistance begins, is in the mind. Change is real and is necessary. For salvation, we must change our mind. We must repent and agree that God's way is better than our way. Also involves surrender. Surrendering. The way I see it, change is an action word. In order for change to occur or be made, some type of physical action has to take place, even if it's something as simple as a decision, which many may say that it's not really, making that decision to change is not necessarily easy. Even if it is as simple as a decision, it's change still has to begin with an action. It still starts with an action being taken, be it by you or by God. In Scripture, people were or are urged to change their mind and agree with God. The word tells us in 2 Chronicles 6, verse 38 and 39. And if they turn back to you with all their heart and soul in the land of their captivity where they were taken, and pray toward the land you gave their ancestors, toward the city you have chosen, and toward the temple I have built for your name, then from heaven your dwelling place, hear their prayer and their pleas, and uphold their causes, and forgive your people who have sinned against you. If they turn back to you with all their heart and soul, hear their prayer, hear their plea, and uphold their cause and forgive your people. Many times in our lives, or even in our days, we can break it down even to just days, minutes, hours, weeks, months, however you want to look at it. We may think about the things either within us or within our lives that we would like to change, that we would like to be changed. That can only take place if action is taken. Not long ago, I heard a phrase that made me nod my head in agreement and made a lot of sense to me. And that being, what you allow is what will continue. If you are satisfied with the way things are in your life, then you will not seek any change. What you allow is what will continue. You will not make the choice or the decision for things to be different. You will not be receptive to any action that God is making in your life, and you will remain resistant, unaccepting. You will remain unchanged. Through your decision, your life will remain the same. For what you allow is what will continue. We cannot seek a better way of life. We cannot desire or hope for our lives to get better, to improve, without being willing to accept the changes that are necessary in order for us to receive happiness and contentment. We can put our trust in God to cope with our changes, or to help us cope with those changes, so that we may overcome our fears, we may overcome our resistance. We can put our faith and our trust in God to help us through all those things because, one, God is great. He is faithful and upright, as the word reminds us in Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. He is the rock. His works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. Second, God has made a promise and he will fulfill it. He will do as he has promised. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Thirdly, God is a firm foundation, a solid rock. Psalms 18:2 reminds us and states that the Lord is my rock and fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Psalm 62:6 says, he is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. And lastly, we can put our trust in God to help us cope with changes because God himself does not change. James 1:17 reminds us every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. God does not change. He is the same today, tomorrow, and forever. We are the ones that need to be strengthened. We are the ones that need to be changed. We are the ones that need to seek him in order to uphold us and to keep us strong and faithful so that we may be receptive to the changes that God is trying to make in our lives. We need to stop resisting. We need to be more welcoming of the change, less fearful. Realize that there's a greater power working in our lives that is keeping us safe, protected. We need to surrender to it and rely on those everlasting arms of Christ to uphold us, to keep us strong and faithful. Change must start with us. Our decisions, our deeds, our willingness to allow the actions to take place through the working of God's hands. To allow the actions to take place through the working of God's hands. It is only then that we will see the mighty work that God has planned to perform in our lives. Then we will remain forever changed. A prayer for a season of change. Dear Heavenly Father, just when we settle into a pattern, things change far too quickly. One door opens, another closes. We rise, we eat, we sleep. We smile, we laugh, we cry. Change itself is ever-changing. And Lord, if I'm truthful, I don't like change because I desire the control. Will you forgive my lack of understanding that your creation of seasons is exquisite? Will you remind me that the ebb and flow of life is rippled by the gifts of love and laughter, and that life is measured by memories, not by minutes? May the season of change fuel me forward to another beautiful season of blessings, another beautiful season of the blessing of your almighty hand. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
That's our message today. I hope you have enjoyed this message given about change in our lives. And I hope that you will make the decision today to turn your will and your life over to the care of God as you understand him, that you would seek his will in your heart and allow his mighty hand to bring about the changes in your life that are necessary to draw you closer to him, that you may spend eternity with us. Does anybody have anything that they'd like to add?
Me.
Daniel?
Please always remember and never forget, nothing changes if nothing changes.
Amen. With that being said, then, if all hearts and minds are clear, we can bow our head for dismissal.